them laughed like children.
"You're coming of age," Don Juan said to me. "Right on time. You're neither too stupid nor too bright, just like me. You're not like me in your aberrations. There you are more like the Nagual Julian, except that he was brilliant."
He stood up and stretched his back. He looked at me with the most piercing, ferocious eyes I had ever seen. I looked up.
"A Nagual never lets anyone know that he is in charge," he said to me. "A Nagual comes and goes without leaving a trace. That freedom is what makes him a Nagual."
His eyes glared for an instant, and then they were covered by a cloud of mellowness, kindness, humanness, and they were again Don Juan's eyes. I could hardly keep my balance. I was swooning, helplessly. Genaro jumped to my side and helped me to sit down. Both of them sat down, flanking me.
"You are going to catch a boost from the earth," Don Juan said to me in one ear. "Think about the Nagual's eyes," Genaro said to me in the other. "The boost will come at the moment you see the glitter on the top of that mountain," Don Juan said, and pointed to the highest peak on the eastern range. "You'll never see the Nagual's eyes again," Genaro whispered. "Go with the boost wherever it takes you," Don Juan said. "If you think of the Nagual's eyes, you'll realize that there are two sides to a coin," Genaro whispered.
I wanted to think about what both of them were saying, but my thoughts did not obey me. Something was pressing down on me. I felt I was shrinking. I had a sensation of nausea. I saw the evening shadows advancing rapidly up the sides of those eastern mountains. I had the feeling that I was running after them.
"Here we go," Genaro said in my ear. "Watch the big peak. Watch the glitter," Don Juan said in my other ear.
There was, indeed, a point of intense brilliance where Don Juan had pointed, on the highest peak of the range. I watched the last ray of sunlight being reflected on it. I felt a hole in the pit of my stomach, just as if I were on a roller coaster. I felt, rather than heard, a faraway earthquake rumble, which abruptly overtook me. The seismic waves were so loud and so enormous that they lost all meaning for me. I was an insignificant microbe being twisted and twirled. The motion slowed down by degrees. There was one more jolt before everything came to a halt. I tried to look around. I had no point of reference. I seemed to be planted like a tree. Above me, there was a white, shiny, inconceivably big dome. Its presence made me feel elated. I flew toward it, or rather, I was ejected like a projectile. I had the sensation of being comfortable, nurtured, secure. The closer I got to the dome, the more intense those feelings became. They finally overwhelmed me, and I lost all sense of myself. The next thing I knew, I was rocking slowly in the air like a leaf that falls. I felt exhausted. A suction force started to pull me. I went through a dark hole, and then I was with Don Juan and Genaro. The next day, Don Juan, Genaro, and I went to Oaxaca. While Don Juan and I strolled around the main square in the later afternoon, he suddenly started to talk about what we had done the day before. He asked me if I had understood what he was referring to when he said that the old seers had stumbled onto something monumental. I told him that I did, but that I couldn't explain it in words.
"And what do you think was the main thing we wanted you to find out on top of that mountain?" he asked.
"Alignment," a voice said in my ear. At the same time, I said it myself. I turned around in a reflex action and bumped into Genaro, who was just behind me, walking in my tracks. The speed of my movement startled him. He broke into a giggle and then embraced me. We sat down. Don Juan said that there were very few things that he could say about the boost I had gotten from the earth, that warriors are always alone in such cases, and true realizations come much later, after years of struggle. I told Don Juan that my problem in understanding was magnified by the fact that he and Genaro were doing all the work. I was simply a passive subject who could only react to their maneuvers. I couldn't, for the life of me, initiate any action because I didn't know what a proper action should be, nor did I know how to initiate it.
That's precisely the point, Don Juan said. You're not supposed to know yet. You are going to be left behind, by yourself, to reorganize on your own everything we are doing to you now. This is the task every Nagual has to face. The Nagual Julian did the same thing to me, much more ruthlessly than the way we do it to you. He knew what he was doing. He was a brilliant Nagual who was able to reorganize in a few years everything the Nagual Elias had taught him. He did, in no time at all, something that would take a lifetime for you or for me. The difference was that all the Nagual Julian ever needed was a slight insinuation. His awareness would take it from there and open the only door there is.
What do you mean, Don Juan, by the only door there is?
I mean that when man's assemblage point moves beyond a crucial limit, the results are always the same for every man. The techniques to make it move may be as different as they can be, but the results are always the same, meaning that the assemblage point assembles other worlds aided by the boost from the earth.
Is the boost from the earth the same for every man, Don Juan?
Of course. The difficulty for the average man is the internal dialogue. Only when a state of total silence is attained can one use the boost. You will corroborate that truth the day you try to use that boost by yourself.
I wouldn't recommend that you try it, Genaro said sincerely. It takes years to become an impeccable warrior. In order to withstand the impact of the Earth's boost, you must be better than you are now.
The speed of that boost will dissolve everything about you, Don Juan said. Under its impact, we become nothing. Speed and the sense of individual existence don't go together. Yesterday on the mountain, Genaro and I supported you and